Chapter 65. Nocturne Angers. Grand Cruiser Reaper's Shroud. Bridge. Lestigen stood up from his throne and donned his helm. Despite every belief he possessed about its efficacy as a military tactic, the virus bombing had failed. So too the subsequent bombardment. Whatever fortress the Drakes were holding Vulcan in had to be formidable. He doubted it was well manned. After the devastation visited upon the Legion at Istvan V, there could not be many salamanders left. Before the Preacher could raise any objections, Lestigen had determined to storm that fortress and take his trophy through force of arms. Nothing would stop him. "Watch him," he muttered to the two Death Guard legionaries standing guard on the bridge. Lestigen glanced at Kor Galek as he descended the command dais. "I will have need of the Preacher once I return with Vulcan's body and a god weapon." All pretense of an alliance between them had vanished with the Monarchia's destruction and the death of Kor Galek's men. Lestigen had made it known that he saw the Preacher as a tool, one he planned to use to its fullest extent, and discard if he so chose. He had no desire to let that treacherous cur take part in the assault where he could slip his grasp or betray the Death Guard. Better that the Preacher remain on board the Reaper's Shroud. The Craven would not try anything whilst under the 14th Legion guns. He did not have the stomach or guile for it. Lestigen was on the verge of leaving the bridge when Kor Galek's voice stopped him. "You swore to me the Fulgurite would be mine. A bargain, you said." Lestigen laughed, a wet gurgle emanating from his throat. "It will be, Preacher, but in service to me." "That is not what we agreed." "Yes, but that is what I am offering. Unlike your demons, I cannot be so easily bound by pacts." Lestigen left, his mocking laughter echoing in his wake. Deep engine drone and the screaming descent of drop pods penetrated through the waspish hum of the voids. In response, the earth trembled as deeply buried mechanisms were activated by the Tech Marines. Cracks opened up in the ground, widening to chasms that became subterranean weapon silos from which macro cannons and multi-launchers emerged. Like rising leviathans, the dragon-mouthed barrels and launch tubes drooled dust and ash as they discharged salvos of missiles and super-heavy shells. Gunships daubed with Death Guard iconography fell out of the sky, aflame and broken apart. Several struck the inviolable edge of the voids and exploded again, shattering in a welter of metal across the ionized energy sphere. The earth trembled as the mountains spat their anger. Pillars of fire shot into the heavens, turning them red, and gouts of black smoke spewed down onto the plain. Through the thickening cloud, fire raptors, thunderhawks, and storm eagles tried to force a landing. Choking on the ash and cinder drawn up into its engines, a fire raptor ditched and crashed in a billowing explosion. Another lost a wing as lava spewed up from a subterranean vent and melted it off. The gunship spun and pinwheeled before colliding with another vessel struggling to see in the abject blackness. Both folded together before breaking apart as they struck the ground. Despite the odds, a storm eagle achieved a landing, but before it could disgorge the legionaries, a chasm opened up beneath it, swallowing the gunship and the troops aboard. As drop pods arrowed earthwards, they disappeared into vast magma trenches or were fused shut by immense geysers of superheated steam. It was as if Nocturne sensed invaders and rose up to destroy them. Foolish was the warlord who attempted to assault a death world, even if that warlord was a legionary. On Nocturne, the salamanders held a distinct advantage, and no amount of obstinate force could truly match that. The Death Guard were learning the extent of that miscalculation, as what had at first seemed like inevitable victory became much more tenuous and potentially hard-fought. But Lestigon would not be denied. He hadn't risen this high and climbed the ranks by giving in to adversity. Vulcan would die by his hand, even if Nocturne itself stood against him. For deadly as the world was, he knew it could not prevent the landfall of such a large force in its entirety. The Death Guard hurtled down in droves, quickly establishing a beachhead a few kilometers from the edge of the void shields. Heavy landers came in the wake of the smaller troop transports and gunships, bringing forth armored land raiders and Sycharan battle tanks. Soon the voids rippled with iridescent blooms from the sustained fire of las cannons and Heracles pattern autocannons. The war engines began to cohere into armored battalions, rolling over rock and earth on scorched black treads, their hulls painted grey with ash. Behind the shields, the serried ranks of salamanders stood and watched. They had three gunships and no armor on the ground. Detachments of heavy weapons were brought up to firing slits and gaps in the ramparts, but they could not hope to stop the Death Guard's armored host, which had been joined by Cerberus and Spartan battle tanks. And at the head of the formation, Numeon saw the bulk of a Typhon siege tank. "That is a lot of armor," he said. "They'll tear the shields down with that much firepower," murmured Zetos. Already weakened by the bombardment, Numeon knew the voids would not hold for long. After they failed, the Death Guard would pulverize the Draconia's gate until it and everyone harbored within its fastness was dust. He scowled, frustrated as fate turned again. But there was still a chance. "We could try and get Vulcan out," suggested Zetos. "Take him to Prometheus."
"And where then, brother?"
Numeon shook his head.
"No, we make our stand now, here, on Nocturne. This is our world, and we alone are its best defense. Besides, that much armor creates a lot of seismic disturbance."
Zetos grunted appreciatively.
"And to think I once wondered why the Legion was always so careful deploying heavy armor on Nocturne."
Numeon gave a feral smile behind his snarling mask.
"We won't be alone for long."
As if in empathy, the mountains thundered again and found their indignation answered by what dwelled below. As the Death Guard tanks rolled inexorably onwards, the earth beneath them was split by chasms, and through disgorged smoke, something emerged from the depths. The sons and daughters of Nocturne had many names for them, just as they had many names for fire. Here, the ignorant invaders had stepped into Imulos without even realizing it. "Gnarlworm, Erdrake, Basilisk, Wyvern, Drakon, Targon." The monstrous tide appeared endless. They spilled from the deep crags, fissures in the rock that had lain undisturbed for centuries. Long spits of flame from the maws of Erdrakes melted tank armor to slag, whilst gouts of incendiary gas spewed by Drakon's fused battle plate and boiled the flesh of crew trapped within. Overhead, wyverns and targons took flight before sweeping down out of the sun to rip turrets and rend bodies. The horned gnarlworms, largest of the beasts, charged at the heaviest armor. The thunder of their cloven hooves shook the earth with tectonic fury. Swarms of basilisks came in the wake of the gnarlworms, crushing whatever machinery still functioned between their constricting coils. Battle cannons responded as a rapid redeployment was effected, but the thick leathern hide, bone crests, and carapace of the beasts proved inviolate against all but the most potent of the Death Guard arsenal. Crushed, gored, snapped in half, the tanks could not withstand such an onslaught. On pinioned wing, by tooth and claw, spewing fire or corrosive gas, these drakes had even challenged the will of a Primarch. They ripped out the heart of the 14th Legion war host with impunity. Numeon looked on grimly and aghast, as did every salamander. Only Ritan appeared unmoved, a statuesque sentinel awaiting an end to the incursion. "They rise for him," he uttered, without investing the words with unnecessary import. "Nocturne angers." "Merciful Vulcan," breathed Zetos, scarcely able to believe the evidence of his eyes. "Do not pity them, Zetos," said Numeon. "I do not, but I have never borne witness to such..." Words could not convey what they all saw. "Nor I." Nomus Ritan's voice rose up over the vox. "Lower all shields! We attack now!" Numeon heard a click as Ritan hailed the pyre captain over his private vox channel. "Will you join us, Captain Numeon, and fight alongside the fire drakes once more?" Numeon's heart swelled with fierce pride and a desire to mete out vengeance against the Death Guard. "It would be an honor, Lord Chaplain." As the beasts of the deeps laid waste to the enemy's armor, the salamanders took advantage of the distraction by sallying forth from the Draconia's gate. A few battle brothers were left behind to hold the bunkers and protect Vulcan. The Techmarine Covenant, along with Gargo, remained also to man its static guns. The rest broke up into battle formations. Tactical support squads bearing flamers poured forwards in the vanguard, whilst heavy support squads made for the flanks or higher ground. Behind the vanguard came a clenched fist of veteran firedrakes. There were scarcely 50 of these warriors, but with the presence of Nomus Ritan and Artellus Numeon, they were formidable. Bolter-armed battle brothers flanked them either side. It would be their job, along with the vanguard, to deliver the veterans into the heart of the fighting, where they could cause the most damage. Nigh on 800 salamanders crossed the fire-blackened plain, where the sand had turned to glass and crunched beneath their booted feet. A terrible host bayed and clawed before them, rending vehicles and stomping warriors to dust. "We are heading into that?" asked Zetos, incredulous. "I have killed many of those beasts. Smaller, yes, but the vein of enmity between us runs deep, I think." The drakes of Nocturne were rampant and laid about them with abandon. Scores of tanks and hundreds of legionaries lay broken by their rampage, though monstrous carcasses stained the earth too. All was left to rot in the pitiless sun. "I doubt they will remember you, brother," said Numeon, his mood lighter than it had been in many months. It felt good to stand with a war host again. Across the Draconia's gate, the vox horn sounded over and over, heralding the call to arms. Mauled by Nocturne's oldest denizens, the Death Guard were reeling and their armored battalions all but vanquished. When the salamanders hit them hard, they reeled again. But these were still warriors of the 14th and they had numbers on their side in spite of the beating they had taken. Slowly they began to reorganize, and as the salamanders came in at close quarters, the beasts began to relent. As savagely and suddenly as they had begun, the drakes returned to the earth without need of encouragement. The Death Guard rallied. Artillery sections hustled into formation, tearing gaps into the Drake's vanguard. Talons of contemptors that had survived the monstrous assault began to lay down fire. Las cannon and culverin beams speared into the dreadnoughts, cutting them apart. Overhead, the sound of quad mortars from the Draconius Gate broke across the plain, dropping heavy payloads into the still reforming rear ranks of the Death Guard. The thud guns were well named, and their thunderous salvos kept the enemy legionaries from forming a countercharge. The rally of the 14th Legion stuttered and struggled to find purchase. Every time their defiance arose, it was quickly crushed as flame units closed in and burned away all resistance. Heavy bolters, autocannons, and missile launchers maintained a dense hail of fire from the high ground and embedded gun emplacements on the walls. One ridgeline exploded as a Death Guard plasma cannon section managed to retaliate, killing several drakes. But the salamander heavies were dug in well and survived. As the Death Guard cannons moved up for a second barrage, they were swallowed by a lava trench that yawned open beneath them. Other legionaries, clad in scorched white plate, were blinded by erupting steam vents, only to be cut down by the host of implacable fire drakes. Even with its scaled denizens fought off and now quiescent, the earth itself still seemed to rebel against the invaders. The deadly unpredictability of the terrain eventually began to tell, and as the Death Guard's superior numbers dwindled and the salamanders continued to carve them up piecemeal, Nomus Ritan led his veterans to their rival command section. But it was Numeon who caught the gaze of their leader across the fierce melee. Lestigen felt his fragile grip on Nocturne weakening. In his mind's eye, he saw his banner in tatters, faded in ignominy. Then he railed against it. None had fought as hard as he. Death and defeat had risen to try and claim him over and over again, but he had resisted. He would resist it again now. "I will be remembered," he thought, striding across the bitter, choking sand plain. "On this rancid world, I shall make an indelible mark in history." As he took a slatted view of the carnage through his visor, Lestigen realized there was no subtlety to this fight, that fine tactics would not win the field. It had become a dirty scrum, a brutal close-quarter engagement. This style of warfare he knew. He had fought it his entire existence. Behind the mask of his war helm, Lestigen smiled. He could see their leader, the draconic officer clad in scales, cutting down warriors like they were little more than wooden staves. "There," he called to his Terminator veterans, "that one." Numeon was well aware that Barbarans were lauded for their resilience, but even the sons of Mortarion could not withstand the beating they had just taken and hope to hold their ground against an equally tenacious enemy. Across the field of battle, the salamanders crushed what remained of the Death Guard's resistance, until only its warlord and his loyal warriors were left. Nomus Ritan bellowed like an Erdrake as fire drakes met Death Guard Terminators. The clash was brutal, and veteran warriors fell on either side in the first few seconds of the fighting. Thunder hammers broke Nion's inviolable warplate apart as the salamanders bludgeoned their enemies implacably. For their part, the Death Guard cleaved and stabbed with lightning claws. One drake was felled by a power fist, only for his killer to die under a hail of retaliatory blows. As the brutal skirmish unfolded, Ritan and a clutch of warriors were drawn into combat against a Contemptor. Even Zetos had been pushed out of position by the lethal ebb and flow of the fight. It left Numeon alone to face the Death Guard warlord. As he met him across the corpse-strewn, wreckage-choked terrain, the Barbaran called out,
"Are you the prophet? The one I chased across the storm?"
He was bleeding from a dozen rents in his armor and snarled with rad-scarred lips, his warhelm long gone. His retainers were almost finished, dispatched by Ritan's firedrakes, as the Lord Chaplain himself took apart the last dreadnought.
"To you, I am the ender of all things," said Numeon.
Drokoros had bitten deep of the Death Guard, and though he was weary, the pyre captain knew this was the one he had to kill. The Death Guard scoffed as if he could reverse fate. His blade was slick with the blood of Numeon's brothers. Numeon would ensure this fetid wretch would anoint it no further.
"You should not have come here. It was an error. You lost your claim on my life when you let us slip through your dirty fingers, traitor. Look around you," he invited.
There were but he and Numeon on this part of the field. Scores of bodies surrounded them, mostly clad in begrimed white. Numeon glanced at the firedrakes about to encroach, warning them off. This was his enemy to kill. The Barbaran appeared unfazed by his sudden shift in fortune. He actually laughed, then formed an ugly grin through decayed teeth.
"Know my name, Drake," he said, as if about to claim conquest for Barbaros. "He who has set foot upon your soil, who has brought death to Nocturne, who will claim the head of your lord and father. Remember it. I am Malig Les..."
Drokoros thrust into the traitor's neck, silencing anything further. As Numeon wrenched the sword free, the Death Guard dropped his blade, a chipped but sharp kukra, and tried to staunch the bleeding. Numeon cut off his head.
"No one will remember you, traitor, least of all me."
A bloodied Zetos joined Numeon on the battlefield as he cleaned his sword. As they clasped forearms, he swung his thunderhammer onto his shoulder.
"Feels good to purge Nocturnian soil," he said, looking around at the carnage.
His gaze lingered on the headless corpse of the Death Guard warlord, but only fleetingly.
"And the desert will take their corpses."
Zetos smiled ruefully.
"Zathen would have relished this battle. He, Varkir, and everyone we have lost to get this far will be remembered. In Vulcan's name."
"Aye, in Vulcan's name."
With the defeat of their leader, the Death Guard were in full retreat. Ritan emerged from the slowly dissipating smoke. Like the others, his armor was battered, but his spirit soaring.
"It seems Nocturne is quiescent once more," he told them both.
"What of the Reaper's Shroud?" asked Numeon.
"Warships are inbound from Prometheus. Vulcan's wrath and the Drake Lord to ensure Nocturne's skies are ours again."
"Then there is but one task remaining," said Numeon,
as his eyes fell upon the forbidding Mount Deathfire.
Vulcan's resurrection.
Rhitan watched Numeon for a few moments before he began walking away.
Brother Captain, he called, after you have cleansed your warplate and weapons, come and speak with me. I said there would be time for talk. That time is upon us.
Aboard the Reaper's Shroud, the alien sirens had reached a fever pitch. Fires ran rampant through the ship. Its shields were down, and according to its augurs, two Strike cruiser-class vessels were inbound from the Prometheus moon, where they had been docked. No hierarchy remained. No order existed. Only chaos. The last two Death Guard legionaries lay dead on the bridge, the blood from their torn throats and bodies still pooling. Inexplicably, their battle plate had provided no defense against the knife. It had cut them open as if they wore nothing but cloth instead of hardy adamantium and ceramite. None amongst the crew had dared stand in the preacher's way after that, and he had said nothing as he left. The only evidence of his existence was the absence of a ship taken from one of the few launch bays that still functioned. Its destination was unknown to everyone save its pilot. But as he flew the diminutive ship, Kor Galek praised Lorgar for his deliverance and the powers of Ruin for the sliver of fulgurite still in his possession.